Anthony Slater joins us as he does every single week.
I want him to check in with me like middle of March after this Anthony camp Slater, and he's on a three-game losing slide.
Us on the River Islands guest line.
Look at this G-leaguer we just signed to a new two-way deal.
95-70 game appear on the River Islands
Who
guest line.
These bifocals are on Quinn Post this week.
Isn't it time for you to discover the island? My good friends, River Islands in Lathrop, and my good friend, Anthony Slater, joining us. We'll ask him about the Air Fox in Sacramento because we know he's tapped in with that situation. But Slater, thank you for joining us today. The Warriors beat the Utah Jazz, or you could say the Salt Lake City Stars. Whatever. It's a win. They're back to 500. There's a step up in competition, to say the least, today against Oklahoma City. But as we get closer and closer to the deadline, what sense do you have on what the Warriors may do before February 6th, Anthony? And good morning again to you. I love you, Anthony. You know you're my guy.
Y'all, I'm on this morning.
Oh, we are, baby. We could do a wacky Wednesday, baby. Let's go.
They're out there trying to figure that out right now. It's definitely, you know, high volume of calls around the NBA this week. You know, I still think there's slight chances to get, you know, that bigger swings materialize, but it's probably, as we've talked about right over the last couple months, maybe the mid-tier type moves. We'll see. You know, I do think something gets done. You know, again, I don't think anything on the chessboard is going to vault them into title contention, but there are moves to be made that, you know, can help now, but also can position themselves better either for a bigger swing this summer, or maybe it's a rotation guy that, you know, fits and is good enough to help next season when they kind of rearrange the roster. Like, it's not all either you make a huge move that you think helps you, you know, leap up the Western Conference standings, or you make a big move that, you know, is a huge rebuild move. Like, there's mid-tier moves that make, you know, logical sense.
Does Steph want to play with Jimmy Butler?
I mean, I think it's an idea that everyone kind of, it's like, do you want to play with the best version of Jimmy Butler? Do you want to play with the version of Jimmy Butler that was like dominant in whatever playoffs that was, where he just like dragged them past the Celtics? Like, that younger, very locked in version of Jimmy Butler is like an appealing idea. This is also a Jimmy Butler who's older, who's had a few injury issues over the last few years and has basically blown up another situation with the franchise, who comes in with not only a huge price tag, but a desire for an extension. Like, and just for, you know, forget, you know, the highest level deal that Miami can no longer ask for, right? We know they can't sit there and go, Kuminga and Pajemski, throw them in, throw some picks. We know that, you know, whoever they're talking to around the league, they cannot ask for that great of a package. But regardless, you have to salary match, and even your worst package has got to send either a Wiggins or Draymond out the door. It's got to send other salary fillers. So you're puncturing your rotation while you're bringing him in too. So it's a risky move in a lot of ways. You know, to your question, would Steph want to play with him? I mean, I think Steph's open to any type of conversation right now as he tries to figure out what's the best way to you know, move forward at 23 and 23, while he's, I think, what, now a month or a little more than a month from turning 37.
And, you know, we're talking to Anthony Slater here on the River Islands guest line. Let's get serious for a second. Jonathan Kuminga, he's going to be reevaluated in a couple weeks here. He's already missed, what, over 3 weeks? I want to say he was playing his best basketball of his young career. Would this injury make the Warriors hesitant, or maybe more willing to maybe part ways with Jonathan Kuminga if they wanted to do that, if they wanted to go that route? Because it doesn't sound like he's going to be back before the trade deadline, Anthony.
I'd be stunned if Jonathan Kuminga's traded. And I don't think that's his ankle injury, that's why they can't. I just think they like view him as too positive of a long-term asset. And, you know, I know there's varying levels of belief in him from the fan base, from the league, whatever, but like, you know, what he can fetch. And again, like, I think he's a guy that I think a rival team would trade for, like believing, hey, we can get him on the cheap and maybe, you know, just because like his contract situation almost lessens his market value, because you know, any team that gets him knows they're going to have to pay for him, you know, in the off season. And I just like that unsettled situation, what he was, and, you know, I think still will be for the Warriors this year, which is like their only real like downhill rim threat. What he represents to them bigger picture, which is like really the one guy of their three lottery picks that still has a chance to really pop. Like, you know, I don't see a scenario that's again on the chessboard right now, considering the players that are potentially available, where they would part with Jonathan Kuminga.
Anthony, would the Warriors, do they deem any player outside of Steph Curry untouchable? And with that said, Andrew Wiggins is having a special year. I wouldn't want to trade him. I think the Warriors need more size. They need more guys like Andrew Wiggins. But what about Draymond Green? A lot of fans have been calling the show. A lot of people express their disappointment with Draymond Green, with the injuries and everything like that. Would they be willing to part ways with Draymond Green? What's the likelihood of that happening by February 6th?
Well, I think it's unlikely for several reasons, including obviously political and nostalgic reasons, which you maybe would say that's not how a team should operate. But we all know the dynamics at play with that situation, right? And the history with Steph and all that. So obviously that's in the mix. The other thing is that's not a very appealing contract on the market. It's 3 years left. Obviously he's aged some. He's a specific fit that, you think about Miami, for example, right? In the Butler, who would Miami rather have? A younger Andrew Wiggins, who would just kind of plug and play on the wing at, 30 minutes a night and start, or Draymond, who'd be kind of an odd fit with Bam, and is obviously older. I mean, to me, Miami would probably prefer Andrew Wiggins. It's just considering the earthquake that would be trading Draymond Green and the value or non-value he would probably have if put on the trade market. I'm not seeing a scenario present itself where it's logical necessarily.
Because to me, it's an incongruent thought process to say that they love Kuminga and he's untradeable and Draymond's got to stay and stay in the role that he's in currently. Doesn't something have to give if they truly do believe in Jonathan Kuminga?
Yeah, I mean, I think, Steve Kerr said it in preseason, this stretch five idea can allow you to maybe play them together. He said Jonathan Kuminga can maybe be a three if you have a shooter out on the five, and we'll see what Quentin Post becomes. We'll see if the Nikola Vucevic trade, materializes, or if we're talking summertime, if they go, bigger fish hunting, what is, of course, Kristaps Porzingis potentially available this summer, or does that type of name intrigue you? But I think there are ways to reconfigure the roster where both of those two could still be featured. Maybe one of the two of them is moved this summer. I think I'm not trying to say, Jonathan Kuminga is the most untouchable asset on the roster. I just think there's no trade out there where it's valued enough that they would put him in a trade. And I would say the same thing about Draymond at this point, unless something, comes available.
Well, they're $7 million over the cap right now, and they've got $32 million in expiring deals. How aggressive are they going to get here when it comes to some of the other pieces that they have on their team? What's the blueprint look like? Are they going to try to staple expiring deals to some of these multi-year contracts like Kyle Anderson or a Buddy Hield, or are they just going to allow those to exhaust? What's your best bet?
I think that everything's on the table, especially with those expirings. Those expirings, are more appealing to a team like, Chicago, if you went for LaVine or Vucevic. Chicago would rather have, give us a Payton or a Looney, because then, the money's off this summer. That's what they want. That's what these rebuilding teams want. Even Miami, right? Miami, I think, while Wiggins' contract, I think he's played himself into being a positive value contract. I think the fact that Wiggins has a third-year player option in a few seasons for $30 million, Miami, from all reports, wants cap space that 2026-2027 season, that 2026 summer. So it's almost an unappealing contract, even though, again, I think he's played he's played it back in a positive value. So it really just depends on the partner you're with, what kind of deals they want. Would they want a Buddy Hield? Kyle Anderson, do you necessarily want to get off that? I think value-wise, it would make sense. Hey, look, you got Kyle Anderson on 3 years, $27 million, for example. He's very much on the fringe of the rotation. Do you want that on the books moving forward? Maybe not. You could argue you should want to get off that. But at the same time, you're going to maybe need, salaries to, stair-step up and build a trade this summer if you really think you're going to get, back into the trade game. So it might be better to have contracts right now that can be aggregated this summer. That's why Vucevic in a lot of ways could make sense, because if you trade some of your expirings and get him, he's under a contract for $20 million next year. That's a nice little puzzle piece to put together.
So likelihood of making a deal, small deal, are they going to buy, sell? What do you think the Warriors do before February 6th?
I think something gets done. And I think it's even possible they throw a first in there. This year's first, I think, is possible to be used, protected. I think there's a desire from the front office to shake it up a little bit, to see something different, you know, maybe try a different rotation piece, reposition a salary, just to, you know, maybe make a little bit of a better mini run this year while also protecting the assets that would allow them to go bigger game hunting this summer. And I do think there's going to be those type of middle tier players on the board, especially if you throw a protected first rounder into the mix, like you can get into a lot more conversations.
Guy Santos, Quentin Post. No one's sitting here banging the drum that these guys are stars. No one has those crazy opinions. I think they are very useful rotation pieces. What are realistic minute allocations for the rest of the year for those two if the team really believes in them?
Yeah, I think Post is the more interesting one because of like what I was saying earlier, where like the lineups he can unlock. I like when Draymond and Kuminga come back, yes, that like clogs up the front court, and I think Moses Moody's probably staring at another situation where he's pushed to the back burner. I think Kyle Anderson's probably buried, and Guy Santos is probably in that mix where, you know, there might be a subsection of the fan base that's upset that he's suddenly very minimized. But I do think Quentin Post won't be, because I do think like there's a, you know, unless, by the way, if Vucevic is on the roster in a week or so, he's, you know, Post would definitely be minimized. But and if there's a 3-for-1 deal, by the way, not only does it take some of these rotation guys away, but I think Post gets elevated to a full roster spot. But to your point, I want to see Kuminga, Draymond, and Post out there. I want to see Kuminga at the 4 and Post out there. You see it. The shot's real. You know, I think there's weaknesses. He showed it last night, right? Some of that Post, you know, paint finishing is a little bit of a concern, but,
Anthony. Fits right in with the rest of the roster.
I know, right? Well, except for the fact that he's actually 7 feet and looks like
he does box out well.
He does box out well.
He does. Like
he's got finishing in our rim. That's what we've been bitching and moaning about for years, is somebody to finish around the rim. And we see a couple pass. Even Guy Santos had a layup and he passed it out to a 3-point shooter. I don't get it at all. Anthony, as we move forward here, Dublin Marge, one of our great texters here. Do you believe this? Do you subscribe to this with the new CBA aprons losing expiring contracts for nothing? It's going to happen more often. Do you see that happening more often in today's NBA?
Yeah, I mean, look what the Clippers did this summer. They just decided it was more valuable to them to just let all of Paul George's money walk to Philly than take, you know, a package that probably would have included, you know, either Wiggins or Chris Paul and maybe a Jonathan Kuminga mix in, depending on the negotiations. Like, they just decided, let it clear, because I think we're all coming to grips, particularly people in the league who have to study it and like are really seeing the ramification of the aprons and all the restrictive natures of it. But even the fans, at least the ones that follow it closely, it's still, even to me, I'm like, at this deadline, I'm having to hit up CBA people or, you know, cap people around the league and like, what's this rule? Well, you know, the frozen pick in the future. I honestly think it's not good that the league did this, right? It's very confusing, even like trying to have segments like this and we have to like go through it. And what is legal? What's not? It's not great. But to your question, yeah, I think it's going to really impact some of the strategies around the league. And one of that clearly seems to be there's a desire to maybe just let guys walk. It's part of why I think that Miami just keeping Butler, not necessarily keeping him around, but keeping him on the roster into the summer is a possibility, because they might just decide either letting his money walk this summer, or if he picks up his player option, maybe trying to deal in the summer is better than whatever bad package is on the table right now.
Lastly here, 30 seconds or less, Pods missed 12 games, the last three shooting 45% from three. Looks like he's slowed down and he's playing at a better pace right now, Anthony.
He looks good. He looks like his, you know, rookie self, probably shooting it even better than that. And that's the biggest thing. And somebody said it last night, I think it was Looney, but like when he hits the three, like the confidence in the rest of his game really gets going. That's, you know, that might not be a great thing, right? You want the type of player he is. You don't want him to be hit the rest of his game to be relying on if the jumper's going or not. But I think we all saw when he hit such a shooting slump that this, you know, in November and December, that really impacted you know, his defense, his playmaking, his confidence, all that, everything that made him good as a rookie, even his rebounding, and that's back. And maybe he just needed the mental reset, the 12 games away. But, you know, he looks like a guy right now that you should play 30 minutes a night. You should play next to Steph a bunch, maybe start next to Steph. We talked in the preseason like it was him versus Melton, really, for that two-guard spot. Maybe he just reclaims it. Like, as we talk about the various things that could jolt this team to a little bit more life, to me, that's high among them. Like, Brandon Pajemski looking like the player that, you know, they pretty confidently were talking about this summer.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. All right, Anthony, good stuff. I'll see you tonight at Chase Center for a little back-to-back. We know who OKC is. We know what they're all about. We'll talk more about them next week. But Oklahoma City is rolling right now. Number one team in the Western Conference and the Warriors right now. 10.5-point underdogs in the back end of a back-to-back. Anthony, you're a good man. Thanks for joining us as always.
Only 10.5 tonight. All right.
No, you think it's going to be, oh, boy. Oh, I didn't like that from Slates. I didn't like that.
I'll see
what do you mean, Bonte? You want them to stand pat? You think they can still do it?
No, I didn't say that.